tonight to the third chapter and the eighth verse. I'm going to read that one verse, and we'll start there, and the Lord knows where we'll wind up. Amen. I have some notes, but we'll just see how far they get me. All right. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 8. What a beautiful verse. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Now that's the Apostle Paul talking. So if he felt like he wasn't much, amen, in comparison, I sure don't think I'm much. Amen. But you know the way to up in the kingdom of God is down. Amen. And unto me who am the least, less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I want your attention to be drawn to that last phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Everybody say the unsearchable riches of Christ. The fathomless riches of Christ. The indetectable riches of Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. The word there that is translated in the fourth edition King James says it is the unsearchable riches. The actual word from the Greek simply means not to be tracked by footsteps. In other words, you can't find it in the flesh. You can't find it by human ability. Hallelujah. The riches of Christ cannot be found in the flesh or in the body or through human effort. Amen. They can only be delved into, and they can only be reaped from a spiritual aspect. Amen. But we have an ability tonight, because of the Holy Spirit of God, that we can understand and actually participate in the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul, what a miracle the man was. If you understood tonight, if you had known the Apostle Paul before he met Jesus Christ, you would not have liked the man. You just would not have liked the man. And I promise he would have hated you, because he hated every Gentile. As far as he was concerned, Gentiles, God simply made them so he'd have something to fuel the flames of hell with. That's how he viewed Gentiles. Now you think you would have liked the man? But you want to understand the grace of God? When God saved the Apostle Paul and filled him with the Holy Ghost, he put a love in his heart for the very people that he despised and he hated, and he made him the apostle to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. You think God can't change somebody from the inside out? Amen. From the top of their head to the sole of their feet, and changed everything about him. Amen. I've had people say to Christians, I don't think people can change like that. Let me tell you something. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the only way that it can happen. And the Apostle Paul was literally changed from the inside out. He literally became a brand new creature and a brand new creation. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the riches of Christ. Hallelujah. God can take out your hater and put in a sense of love. God can take out your bitterness and make you sweet. God can take away all of your evil and fill you full of goodness. God is able to take your stinginess, amen, and give you a spirit of generosity. God can change an individual from the inside out. That's unsearchable riches tonight. Hallelujah. You don't discover that on the psychiatrist's couch. You won't get that at an A meeting. Amen. The only way you're going to get that kind of change is when God changes you and takes out your old nature and gives you a new nature. Hallelujah. That's the only way that it can happen tonight. There is no other way. In order to, in some way, understand a little bit of what this verse is saying, I want to go back to the second chapter. The Apostle Paul begins by saying, "And you hath he quickened." Hallelujah. Anybody feel quickened here tonight? The word quickened means made alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made us alive. Hallelujah. That's what God does when he saves somebody. He puts a new life in them and a new liveliness in them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody was in a Pentecostal service and they were just shouting and moving and dancing and carrying on. And somebody said, "I don't think all that's necessary. God's not deaf." He said, "No, and he's not nervous either." Amen. It's all right. Go ahead. You won't make him nervous tonight if you shout and if you dance and if you enjoy your salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all right to be emotional. If you're an emotional person, praise God. It's all right if you're not an emotional person. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Because we've been quickened. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let me go on a little further here. He said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead." How in the world were we dead in trespasses and sins? Amen. What are trespasses? Trespass, the word means to take the wrong road, to sideslip. Anybody ever taken a wrong road in life? Anybody ever made the wrong decision? Amen. You took a detour, and oh, you wish you hadn't taken that detour. And if you could go back and knowing what you know now, you wouldn't have gone down that road. Amen. But everybody's done that. Everybody under the sound of my voice tonight, you made some decisions and you reaped some consequences that you'd rather not have to have done, but you did. Amen. And you know what? Without Jesus Christ, we keep on making wrong decisions. I know people, no matter how good and how well intentioned they are, they just keep on making the same wrong decisions. And they keep doing the things they said they were not going to do anymore. That's trespasses. Going the wrong way. Taking the wrong road. Slipping off the highway. Amen. And then he said, in trespasses and in sins. The word sin means to miss the mark. Now that gets all of us here tonight. Every one of us have missed the mark. Amen. I'd like to be the perfect father, but I've missed the mark. I'd like to be the perfect husband, but I missed the mark. I'd like to be the perfect pastor, but I missed the mark. I'd like to be the perfect Christian, but I missed the mark. Amen. No matter what your goal is, when you miss the mark, you come short. Amen. We need the help and the grace of God, because we can't get the mark by ourselves. Amen. I heard somebody tell me years ago when I first started living for God, they said, "I have never sinned since I got the Holy Ghost." And they just did, because they lied. Amen. They had such a narrow definition of what sin is. It's something as simple as just missing the mark. Knowing what you should be and being less. Knowing what you should do and doing less. Amen. Didn't the Bible say, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Amen. Missing the mark. Amen. We've got to be careful, folks. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We've taken the wrong road. Amen. We have missed the mark so many times. We were dead in those aspects. We could no longer even hear the voice of God or respond to the voice of God. But He quickened us. You talk about the grace of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, there's some folks sitting on these pews tonight. You wouldn't recognize them if you had known what they were before. If you knew BC, amen, you wouldn't recognize them now. Praise God. That's the grace of God. Those are the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We were dead in sins and trespasses. I want you to know something. Sin kills. Yes, it does. The first thing that sin kills is innocence. And there's nothing more sad than to watch innocence die. There's nothing more sad than to watch innocence die. But sin slays innocence every day. Yes, it does. It's such a travesty, a child that is so trusting. And when sin comes and shatters the innocence and robs it forever of innocence. I'm telling you, sin kills. It kills some things that can never be restored. You see, innocence can never be restored. It can never be totally restored. Once it's gone, it's gone. Amen. That's the problem with sin. It promises so much and delivers so little. Amen. It promises you much, but it delivers so little. That's just the nature of sin. It kills innocence. Another thing sin kills are your ideals. Amen. We all started out in life, and our teachers and preachers and parents and people would encourage us, follow dreams, be all you can be. And all of those wonderful slogans about ideals and becoming great and becoming good. Amen. But you know what sin does? It destroys your ideals. And you keep falling short until after a while, instead of looking to your ideals and trying to be the best that you can be, you just start looking for a lesser ideal. And you find somebody that's a little lower than you are. And they say, at least I'm not like him. At least I'm not like her. At least I'm not like that. At least I haven't done this. At least I haven't gone that far. And you start lowering your ideals. That's why Jesus, or Paul, said in his writing, he said, if we judge ourselves by ourselves, we are unwise. If you look at somebody in the church and you see I'm better than he is, you're too proud. Or if you look at somebody else and see I'm not as good as he is, then you're inferior. And both of those are a danger to you. If you get spiritual pride, it'll destroy you. But if you go around feeling inferior, that'll destroy you. Now, I'm not talking about humility. Humility is just not thinking about yourself. Period. Amen. Not thinking about yourself. Period. Amen. The best way to get rid of that is just to think about Jesus and think about others. Get so much of the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost that you don't care. Don't think about yourself so much. Amen. Woo! My. I think I could preach about that tonight. I think we already did, didn't we? Anybody remember that one? You don't? Well, let's start all over again. All right. Amen. Praise God. All right. Amen. Sin kills ideals. It brings down your ideals of life. It destroys your heroes. And you know what I'm talking about. Sin makes people feel that there's really nothing left to live for. Find no heroes in life. Amen. If that's ever been done, it's been done in the last 30, 40 years. So much. Amen. We used to have people we looked up to. Amen. And now everybody says, well, that we're all the same. We're all the same. Amen. Oh, God, give us some folks to look up to. Give us some ideals to aspire to. Give us some lofty morals and values to look up to and to live up to, so that we don't just lose ourselves in low living. Amen. We see it around us, people that should have, they do have everything life has to offer. They've got the cars and the houses and the clothes and the fame and all of that, and yet they're committing suicide, taking their lives. You know why? Because their ideals have been destroyed. They reached what they thought was the top, and it was an empty place. Amen. What a travesty. What a travesty. Amen. You see, sin destroys ideals. Sin destroys the will of an individual. Amen. It destroys the will. First of all, sin is an act. And then sin becomes a habit. And then sin becomes a faulty character. And then sin becomes a destiny. And it's a downward trek. Amen. That's why we have to stop sin when it's just a thought. When it's just a temptation. That's the time to cut it off. That's the time to stop. Amen. But if you listen to the world, it says what? Everybody's doing it. You know what that is? That's low ideals. That's the road to low living. Everybody, that's just an excuse for not being a man and standing up and having the courage and the backbone to be different and stand out. Amen. Praise God. And so sin destroys the will. It kills innocence. It kills ideals. It kills the will. The Bible said you walked according to the course of this world. Anybody remember walking the course of this world? Just doing what other people were doing. Doing what other people told you to do. Amen. Just giving in. Amen. And just, well, I want to be like everybody else. Amen. And this is the way people live. And there was a high road, but we took the wrong road. We trespassed. We went down the low road. Amen. Living like everybody else lives. Lying when they lie. Cheat when they cheat. Steal when they steal. Live like they live. Lowering your standard till you have no standard. Destroying your values until you have no values. Bad-mouthing morals until there is no morality. Amen. Walk the course of this world, thinking like this world. Amen. And then the Bible said, according to the prince of the power of the air. Let me tell you something. There's still a real devil. He doesn't dress in a red suit with a forked tail and a pitchfork in his hand, little horns on his head. Amen. Call him hot stuff. But there's a real devil. And he's genuine. Amen. And he's a master at deception. Amen. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. He's a master at what he does, because he's been doing it for 6,000 years almost. Amen. He knows what he's about. He knows how to do it. He does his job well. Oh, that the church did its job as good as the devil does his. You talk about having revival, we'd have revival, wouldn't we? If we were as committed to saving souls as he is to destroying them. If we were willing to pay the same price to save the lost as he's willing to pay to destroy them. Hello. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got a feeling that if we were just as serious about our business as he was about his, there'd be more churches than beer joints. Hello. Amen. Praise God. There'd be more Christian bookstores than there would be houses of pornography. If we were as serious about our business as the devil is about his business. But you know what? The devil tries to keep us so busy. The only time we think much about God or church is on Sunday and on Wednesday. And we come and we get our blessing. And then we kind of put it on the shelf for the rest of the week. And we crawl back in and say, here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Amen. Forgetting that you got a well on the inside. Forget the cup. Unstop the well. Hallelujah. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Amen. Jesus said, it shall be in you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you see, there is a real devil. He's good at his job. He said we walked according to the desires of the flesh and the mind. Amen. You can't let your flesh rule your life. And you can't always go by what you think's right. The Bible said that there's a way that seemeth right to man. And therein are what? The ways of destruction. There's a path that seems right to the man. And then there's the voice of God said, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And we have to make a decision. And in the past, we walked the wrong road, didn't we? The desires of the flesh and of the mind. Amen. Let me tell you something. This flesh, nobody has to teach you how to sin. It starts when you're real little. Amen. Kids just automatically, sorry, but they lie. You have to teach them not to. Mama told the little boy, come in, and he's running, and he come in the house, and he's all excited. He said, Mama, Mama, Mama. He said, did you see that lion outside? I saw a lion in the yard. And she said, Tommy, you know you didn't see a lion. He said, well, I thought it was a lion. So she said, you go sit in that corner over there and you ask Jesus to forgive you. And then when you think that you're ready to apologize, you come and tell me. So he sat over there for a little while and she checked on him a little bit and said, Tommy, do you still think you saw a lion? He said, well, I'm not sure now. She said, well, what did Jesus say? He said, well, he thought it was a lion there for a minute, too. That comes out of the mouth of a child. Folks, you don't have to teach people to sin. Amen. I remember service, well, I mean right in the middle of the service, our pastor's son back then, he just, right in the middle of the service, he sitting on the pew, and he grabbed his coat, and he just ran down the aisle, going, right in the middle of church. Boy, you talk about his dad turning red. He grabbed that boy. He set him down. And he said, after church, son, you're going to get it. And he sat there the rest of the service quiet. And after church, the pastor was getting ready to correct his son. And the little boy looked at him. He said, Daddy, he said, you know what? The devil made me do that. And his dad said, we're going to beat the devil out of you. And it got the situation taken care of. Never happened again. Amen. But this old flesh, it's prone to sin. And you have to get it under control. You have to learn to discipline the flesh. You can't give in to it. Amen. And so we walked that road of desires of the flesh and desires of the mind. And it said we were by nature. Everybody say by nature. Children of wrath. Children of wrath. Boy, you watch people, everybody seems like everybody's got a chip on their shoulder. Don't take much to get them riled, does it? Boy, they got the spirit of wrath. Amen. All you got, if you say the wrong thing, even look at them wrong. Amen. I've had people think I was even looking at them. I wasn't even looking at them. And they got all upset and perturbed. Amen. And I'm just saying that spirit, the nature of the children of wrath, the Bible says that's the way we were. Anybody remember looking, being like that? Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about a couple of them. They had a nickname. Their names were the Sons of Thunder. You know why they were called the Sons of Thunder? They made a lot of noise. It didn't take much to get them riled. Amen. They'd give you a piece of their mind that they could ill afford to part with. Amen. They'd fight at the drop of a hat, and they'd drop the hat. Sons of Thunder. Sons of Thunder. Amen. And so we were like that. We walked that road. Amen. But I love this next verse. Verse number 4 says, but God. Amen. I was walking the course of this world, but God. I was walking according to the prince of the power of the air, but God. I was living the desires of the flesh and the mind, but God. Amen. I was by nature a child of wrath, but God, who is rich, who is rich, who is rich in mercy, had mercy on me. He reached down to where I was. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, with the great love wherewith he loved us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He even died for, what's his name? Ted Turner, is that the guy's name? That Turner guy? Wealthy guy. Amen. I read one time, he said, I didn't ask Jesus Christ to die for me. Went ahead and did it anyway, Mr. Turner. He's trying to keep you out of hell. He's trying to save your life, save your soul. Trying to get you on the right path. Trying to get you to hit the mark. Amen. He wants to save tonight. God knows what sin does to people. So he came to save us from our sin. He knows what it does. Amen. Sister Lottie, that's what Jesus died for, us to save people like that. Get them out of it. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. If you're out, you still have some loved ones that are not. And it still disturbs you. And it bothers your sleep and your rest. And you carry this burden. God, save my brothers. Save my sisters. Save my loved ones. Save my family. He came to do exactly that. And God is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad tonight? God is rich in mercy. We can't even begin to understand how rich God's mercy is and how great God's love is. I could tell you some stories tonight that would boggle your mind and stretch your imagination that God could save somebody like that. There was a man in Colombia, they called him Captain Gusher. His specialty was the Colombian necktie. He'd cut his enemy's throat and pull their tongue through it. You talk about an evil, wicked man. But one day God got a hold of his heart. He repented of his sins. God forgave him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. God called him to ministry. You talk about putting the fear of God in folks. You get in his church, you want to be good. Amen. But I'm just talking about the extreme mercy of God. The extreme mercy of God. We would never give anybody like that a chance. People don't change. People don't change. People don't change. You ever heard that? People don't change. They don't unless God changes them. But when he takes out that old filthy nature and puts in the nature of Jesus Christ, that's the way that it happens. God's rich in mercy. I love this. The Bible said he raised us up. You like that, Brother Hart? I said God raised. That means we were headed down the wrong road. We were going down. And God raised us up. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God raised us up. Hallelujah. Have you noticed what God does? He's always lifting. You know what? One of the great things people do today, they're always putting people down. Putting people down. The master of the put down. I know how to really put people down. Jesus is not in the business of putting people down. He's in the business of lifting people up. And the church needs to get into the business of lifting people up. If you're in the ministry of putting people down, you're serving the wrong master. You get full of the love of God. You get full of the Holy Ghost, and you'll be lifting people up. That was good, Brother Grissom. Thank you, sir. Thanks for preaching that. We needed to hear it. Amen. Praise God. He's in the business of raising people up. He hath raised us up together. Hallelujah. You know why you need to come to church sometime? Every service you never chance you get, so you can get raised up. Anybody get raised up when you come to church? Amen. I hope so. Praise God. That's what we're trying to do. We're in the ministry raising up. Praise God. That's why we try not to take out our personal frustrations on you. We want to lift you up. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Raise us up together and made us to sit. Everybody say sit. In heavenly places. You know, whenever you sit, that means that you're comfortable and you're resting. You plan to stay a while. Hallelujah. I said you plan to stay a while. When you sit down with somebody, you plan to stay a little bit. He lifted us up and made us to sit. In heavenly places. Amen. Anybody know what heavenly places are? When Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I think he meant more than just heaven. Now, I believe he's talking about heaven in the New Jerusalem. But I also believe that he was talking about a spiritual place that we live in and rest in before we get to heaven. Anybody been in some heavenly places? Have you ever got to praying in your own house and gotten some heavenly places? Have you ever got to singing in your car going down the highway and got in some heavenly places? Hallelujah. You ever get in some church services and get in some heavenly places? You ever been in a hospital room and got to praying and praising God and got in some heavenly places? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God can cause people in prison to sit in heavenly places. Amen. They can be bound on the outside, but they can be free on the inside. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight that one of the riches of Jesus Christ is that he raises us up together to sit in heavenly places. Where are those heavenly places? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It'll take you higher than marijuana. It'll take you higher than heroin. It'll take you higher than cocaine. It'll take you higher than crack. It'll take you higher than anything this world has to offer. It'll take you higher than riches. It'll take you higher than fame. It'll take you higher than anything this world has to offer. Heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's no hangover. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly places in Jesus Christ. That in ages to come, he said he might show us his exceeding riches. His exceeding riches. Did you know we're not really even going to understand what that really is until we get to the other side. And then we're going to go, wow. There's so much more to this than I ever thought. Man, I was just sipping. I'm getting ready to start gulping now. Hey, man, this is amazing. Wow, what the Lord has done. Amen. Praise God. Not only is he going to save us out of our sin in this life, but for eternity, hallelujah, to serve him and to be active in his kingdom on the other side. My, what a thing God has done here. And then he said, by grace are you saved. Anybody remember that? God didn't save you because you're so good looking. God didn't save you because you're so smart. And God didn't save you because you're so good. And God didn't save you because He needed your talents. By grace are you saved. By grace. God's divine favor. Just because He loved you. Even when you were not very lovable, He loved you anyhow. Amen. We understand that to some degree, don't we? Amen. Have you ever had a child that was a little cross? That may be a double speak there, but anyway. Amen. They were little, a sister heart says, ouchie. Or maybe just downright rotten. And you loved them anyhow. They didn't deserve it. You know what that is? That's grace. It's born by love. It's what makes the world go round. That's why there's still people on the earth. Amen. If it wasn't for love and grace, none of us would have made it this far. They would have got rid of us when we were little. That's why God makes babies and puppies cute. Otherwise, you'd kill them. And it's by the grace of God that we're here today. Amen. It's by the grace of God that we're still here today. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You couldn't have done enough to save yourself. Amen. And then verse number 10, he says we are his workmanship, his poema, his masterpiece. Hallelujah. Sometimes I look at myself and I see a mess, but God says, no, you're a masterpiece, but you're still in the work, son. You're not through yet. Amen. Praise God. There's still a little work to do here. Amen. There's room for improvement, is there? Anybody think there's a little room for improvement in your life? If you don't think there is, come talk to me. We'll find some. Amen. Praise God. There's room for improvement in all of us. Amen. Amen. Created. I love this word. Created in Christ Jesus. Again, there's that word creation. Created in Christ Jesus. Amen. The person you are when you're saved, that person didn't exist before you were saved. I said, that person did not exist before you were saved. The person that existed before you were saved was a different person. You were created in Christ Jesus. You became a new creation, a new life. Hallelujah. Amen. Kind of looks more or less the same on the outside, but even that changes. I said, even that changes. For some people, it changes a lot. Amen. Praise God. He said, created in Jesus Christ unto good works. I thought we weren't saved by works. You're not. But if you're saved, you'll have good works. I said, if you are saved, you'll have good works. If the goodness of God dwells in you, you'll have good works. You just will. Amen. It's like the fellow said about tongues. He said, the Holy Ghost, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you talk in tongues. He says, like buying shoes. He said, when you buy shoes, you said, oh, I'd like to have tongues with that. And they say, well, they're shoes. They come with tongues. You don't have to buy the tongue separately. It just comes with the shoes. Amen. And so salvation's like that. It comes with good works. Amen. If when your heart is good and your heart is right, good works are just natural. You just do good works. Amen. It's the fruit of a good heart and a good life. Amen. He said that we should walk in them. Walk in what? In good works. Hallelujah. We should walk in good works. Praise God. Amen. Being a Christian just makes you want to do good. I'm not getting many amens, but that's truth anyhow. Praise God. That's good, Brother Grissom. Thank you, sir. Let's shout a while about that. Praise God. It'll make you want to do good works. Amen. It'll make you want to do right. For your neighbor. Amen. Praise God. People have been saved because of somebody did something good. Got their attention. Amen. Somebody baked a cake. Somebody said a kind word. Somebody did a good deed. Amen. All of those things, they're just a part of being a Christian. Amen. And the Bible said we should walk in them. That is, we should be occupied with them. We should deport ourselves with good works. Amen. So that's what being a Christian is. Those are the riches of Christ. Amen. Those are the riches of Christ. You know why we can do good works? Because we're not consumed with ourselves. We're not consumed with ourselves. Hallelujah. We can put ourselves out for others because we're not consumed with ourselves. Let's stand together. Praise God. Thank you so very much for your time and your attention here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Unsearchable riches. Hallelujah. You can't get there on your own. You'll never discover the riches of Christ on your own. They're not something, a lot of times it doesn't even make sense to the natural reasoning. The Bible said that there are some things that are just spiritually discerned. The things of the Spirit, he said, are spiritually discerned. They don't make sense to the flesh. They don't make sense to the natural man. Amen. But they make sense to the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Somebody tonight, you took the wrong road. You've trespassed. And you'd like to get back on the right road. You've got a great opportunity to do that right here, right now. Somebody, you missed the mark. You look back over the day and you say, boy, did I miss the mark today. I should have been better. I should have done better. I'm sorry. Amen. I missed the mark. Praise God. Well, let me tell you today, you can hit the mark here tonight. You can get a brand new start. You can start all over again. The grace and the mercy of God are present in this place to help you to start again. Amen. Somebody would like to come to this altar and just spend some time with Jesus tonight.